This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Saram to our listeners. I'm Gulab Lemoria of Sri Sathasai International Organisation of New Zealand, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagawan, Sri Sathasai Baba. So I welcome you all to this 1127th Saturday news program, and this afternoon we'll be hearing a talk from Dr. Sundar Iyer on the topic of Sai's love of a thousand mothers. In this unforgettable talk, Mr. Sundar Iyer takes us through a journey of humor and deep revelation shaped by over 40 years in the fold of Sri Bhagwan Sri Sathasai Baba. From a parable about 19 horses that refused to divide, to the unlikely path that brought a reluctant teenager into Swami's college, every story builds toward something far greater: the discovery of God's love in the most personal, direct way. What begins as a boy rebellion soon transforms into a breathtaking encounter. Swami himself stepping in at the most critical moment, showing what it means to have the love of thousand mothers. But that is only the beginning. This talk peels back layers of human and divine in Swami. The silent evening of reading letters, the unspoken loneliness of the avatar, and the great truth that his nature is to love and to give unconditionally. How does one move from doubt to unshakable faith? How does Swami reveal himself when the heart is truly searching? Here till the end, this will be in two parts. The answer is more powerful than you can imagine. This talk was delivered during the Zone 4 International Conference of Sri Sathasai International Organization held in Malaysia from 5th to 7th of September 2025. So let's hear the first part. But before we do that, let's have a Ganesh Bhajan, and here's one for you.
Oh, Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram. I offer my most beloved salutations to the divine, omnipresent, omnipotent, the divine master, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, that resides in the heart of every one of you here. So my salutations to each and every one of you, the embodiments of the divine. This I truly believe now, after being in Swami's fold for over 35 years. The logo is so beautiful, as Dr. Reddy pointed out. The infinity on one side and Swami on the other side. So I want to begin with helping you think out of the box. Because every time an avatar comes, he awakens us. He awakens us to think out of the box, think out of the ordinary. That is why he wants us to think we are divine. How out of the ordinary is that? And therefore, here is a small parable. Promise me you won't Google for the answer. A rich landlord dies, leaving a will. And in that will, he writes off his 19 precious, wonderful horses. But the will has a problem. 19 horses, and the will says, half of these will go to my eldest son. 1/4 of these will go to the village temple. 1/5 of them will be given to my other son. The village elders were perplexed. Fractional division of 19 is impossible. How do you even resolve this? And they were scratching their head, as perhaps many of you all might be. I was very bad at math, and I don't claim to be good now. So I was when I initially heard this. Let's hold on to that. There is a solution to that, of course. How do you divide 19 into half? How do you get 1/4 out of 19? How do you get 1/5 out of 19? Yes, if they're pebbles, you could break a pebble in half, but horses, living horses? So it is with our life. Sometimes we are in face-to-face with situations. We don't know how to solve them. We know there is a solution there. Like we know there is a God within us, but how do we discover him? How do we awaken that divinity? We know God is in everybody, but how do we live without judgment? There are difficulties in life. How do we live with equanimity there? What is the missing link? When I was 17, my father got transferred from Bombay, where I was born and raised, to a very distant village in Haryana, where there were no schools or colleges. They were all very orthodox. Our Kula Devam is Murugan. I can say Murugan, most of you will understand Murugan, Karthik Bhagavan, Subramanyam, and Shiva devotees, ardent followers of Kanchi Shankaracharya. So a flashy looking, handsome looking Sai Baba was not welcome in our house. They said, Ayyo, Ivara, Vanda Namruka. They were scared of Swami. But then there was a search for this college. Where do we put Sundar Iyer now that I am getting transferred to Haryana? He is going to finish his 12th grade. Where will he study? There weren't too many residential colleges back then. I'm talking of 78 and 79. There were one or two. Either they were for the very rich, which we were not, or they were for the very intelligent, which I was not. And so the search was there. Everybody was perplexed. What do we do with this guy? I was ready to go to the Pune Institute simply to be a rebel with my family. I loved acting. I wanted to go there. Amitabh Bachchan was my guru. Vinod Khanna, God bless his soul. Somebody told us, Sai Baba is starting a school, an ashram in Puttaparthi. Boys will be safe. This boy is not going to run away anywhere. He will be stuck in a village far, far away from any city life. So there's hope for him. And the whole family said, no, Sai Baba, we don't want him. We are all Murugan Rikar Namluku, Shivan Rikar, our Purum. Where are Mandam? But then a friend whispered in the ears, it is free education. Appadina paravala, poit par. Immediately, the whole family said, in that case, go and try. Let us see. Swami opens his doors to everyone without judgment. Somebody as with a little mind of just getting free food and free education, the door was open with no judgment. No qualifications are required to walk into his mansion. Somebody says, I don't want to believe in his miracles. I don't know who he is. I just want to serve. The door is open to walk into his mansion. Somebody says, I love music. I don't know anything else, but I love music. I love your bhajans. I want to sing. The door is open into his mansion. Somebody wants only to serve. The door is open. Somebody wants only academic knowledge, jnanavainis, premavainis, the advaitic discussions. The door is open. All of us meet in his room. The door is open for everyone. And such kind of vast approach to raising human consciousness can be done only by Bhagwan, by an avatar. So I went to Swami's college, and the first thing I loved about that place was the village. I got down out of Dharmavaram station, there was a tongawala, a bullock cart, waiting for me. I immediately decided that's my life. You know why? Because that bullock cart reminded me of Sholay, the movie Sholay. Unfortunately, there wasn't a Basanti driving the bullet cart. There was a village man. But nevertheless, that as I drove to Puttaparthi in that bullock cart, and then we entered, I saw the hills, I saw the river, and as for me, being raised in Bombay, coming to a village, it was amazing. And I said, this is the place I want to be. It's so beautiful. Swami was not even in the picture. Village attracted me, being far away from parents attracted me. Nobody's going to breathe down the neck and say, padi, 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 you know, there was that and that. One thing led to the other. There are so many steps, so many beautiful, humbling experiences for me. I don't even know where to begin. But I have only 40 minutes to share the span of an experience that almost spans 40 years. I joined Swami's college. I was a batch of 40 or 50 boys with me. Most of them from Sai's family. Most of them had nice stories. They were raised in Sai families. They had wonderful stories to share. And I was listening to them. I was spellbound. I said, even if a fraction of this is true, then my life will change. Who is this Sai Baba? I was inspired by the fact that he was approaching devotees with so much love and ease. It was easy to touch his feet. You didn't have to stand in line or pay fees or buy tickets to get for darshan. Something we were so used to and took it for as a norm. He broke all those norms. But then my heart was searching for my guru. Where is my guru in all this? Is he a teacher for me? I love what he says. It's something I can relate to. Service to man is service to God. That's what I always believed in. Love is God. Love is God. Live in love. That's what I always believed in. But my heart was still not open in accepting Swami. Because I simply didn't have any direct experience. And the reason I share this, it's very, very important for each one of us, my dear sisters and brothers, that we connect to God directly. If that door opens, and it has to open to each one of us, when that direct connection with God opens, when you know that Swami listens to you, when you know that you can sit in the silence of your home and talk to Swami, be in His presence, then nobody can come in between you and Swami. We do not need anybody to tell, I have a message from you from Swami. I have this for you from Swami. That doesn't work in Swami's world. Swami has come just to awaken us for that direct, close proximity with the divine. It is our birthright. And I was searching for that. I wanted that. I've always been street smart in everything, and especially in spirituality. I want things in black and white. I wanted the guru to come alive in me, to speak to me, for me something to click. In the months that passed by, I heard Swami's talk, and he would talk about, I have a love of southern mothers, he would say. And I would scratch my head. Back then there was a lot of hair there. What does he mean by a love of thousand mothers? It doesn't even register. A love of one mother I can understand, but thousand mothers, what does he even mean? And then he would say, I am an embodiment of love. Prema Swarupa, he would call us as embodiment of love, and devotees call him as embodiment of love. And that is another thing I just couldn't understand. Where does this love figure in? What is Swami doing? He is coming, giving darshan. He is taking people for interview. He is talking to them, blessing them. And there are devotees who claim so many experiences of healing and all that, which I have not experienced. But where is this thousand mothers' love? How would I experience something like that? Even a fraction of that. I wanted Swami to come and ask me my name. Hey, where are you from? What is your name? That didn't happen. Even though we were 50 boys, it didn't happen. I was waiting for some excuse for that connection to be made, for me to take that first step and then perhaps know more about Swami. 1979, June, was when the college opened. It was 1980, December, that the hostel that we call the dorm or the hostel was opened, was ready. So 1.5 years we stayed in the mandir, right across Swami's residence. Where he stayed in the mandir, we stayed across in the East Prashanti. Three dorms, we all stayed there. We would roll up our blankets and towels and go down to the mandir in the sands. We would spend the night, sleep there. And every morning, 4:30, the ladies will come with a broom and say, shoo, shoo, shoo. That's how we were woken up. So we will rush, get up, come back, brush our teeth, go for Omkaram, Suprabhadam, and all of that. I liked all of that, but my heart was not in there. And we have to know this and be honest about our connection with the divine, and only then the response will come. My dear sisters and brothers, in this path of spirituality, we cannot live on borrowed faith. My faith cannot become your faith. So I'm not here to convince you about Sai's divinity. I'm here to share my journey. My journey hopefully can inspire you, for you to take your own steps towards Swami and find your own relationship with him. So 1.5 years later, when the hostel opened and was opening, or the inauguration was set for December 25th, 1980, I can never forget that day for many reasons. One of them being this. We boys said, we have to invite Swami, now quote unquote, to our place, to our hostel, and therefore let us prepare a program for Swami. And that was when we thought of the Bhangra dance. The first time we broke the rule in the sacred ashram of Puttaparthi, the young boys got together and we wanted to do Bhangra dance. Of course, everybody was so annoyed and upset that we even thought of that idea. But then we begged and pleaded. Swami came and saw the rehearsal and says, Parvaledu, koti laga emo chestunnaru pillalu. You know, like monkeys, they're dancing. It's okay. Just wear pants inside, please, he said. So that was checked. But then I had a secret ace card up my sleeve. When I was very young, my dad, and I didn't like that at that time, he would wake us up at 5 in the morning and send us to a vyayam shala, a gym, run by the RSS or the, at that time they were the Hindutva movement or whatever. So they had a gym and they would teach us the ancient arts, the one with the stick, self-defense with sticks and so on, just like you send kids to Kung Fu and or Karate and Jiu-Jitsu classes and all of that. We were sent to that. And there, they taught us yoga not on the ground, but up in the air. No, sorry, I was not levitating. But there was a rope to climb on. I would climb a rope and do asanas on the rope. So I suggested, I said, I don't think Sai Baba has seen this. Can I do asanas on a rope? They said, this Swami has not seen. So it was a welcome idea. Everybody loved it. And so I jumped in joy. I said, I got a one-on-one. I could do a one-on-one thing. Swami, look at me, not as a group of Bhangra dance boys. Because there again, you've got turban and lungis and kurtas. He won't recognize you. I was yearning for that one chance where I had something to perform. Maybe sing, maybe do something where he would look at me. And the chance came. The chance always comes, my dear sisters and brothers. The opportunity always comes. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. With faith, with hope. And the opportunity comes at the right time, at the right moment. And your innate talent will connect you with the divine. Whatever that is. You don't have to be a pujari to connect to the divine. You don't have to be an expert in Vedic chanting. All you need is yearning. What did I have at that point? I just knew to do yoga on a rope. Something gymnastic. Extremely physical in its feet, if you will. But the intention was, what was, would that connect me to the divine? Patram, toyam, pushpam, anything you offer, a leaf, whatever you offer with love, the God accepts. And so I had a chance to perform that in front of Swami. I still remember every time I went up on the rope, Swami was sitting in the quadrangle in the hostel during the program. He was sitting in the jhula and he would raise both his hands and a broad smile, he would bless me. And then I would go into another asana, look at Swami from the top, and again Swami would bless me. It was such a beautiful moment. I can never ever forget it, ever fresh in my mind. That Swami was looking at me. I was looking at Swami. Even though there were hundreds of people far below, if you will. I'm kidding. There was only 30 feet above the ground. And then came another thing where I understood the meaning of love. Swami's love. And I want you to understand this experience, such so powerful and so beautiful in its nature. I had another feat that I would said I will perform, and that was jumping through the rings of fire. That was another thing I learned as a young boy. And so few of us got, I had some helpers, and we fabricated a ring which was 2.5 feet in diameter, a little over my shoulders, a little broader than my shoulders. And built two hooks and two boys will hold it on each side and I would light it up in fire and I would jump through one ring. So it was easy. I was jumping through one ring and roll on the other side. So we said, hey, this is too easy. How about putting one and two and I jump through two rings simultaneously? As young boys, sometimes our over-enthusiasm, our enthusiasm gets the better of it, right? So this is one fine example. So we practiced the two rings. One, first I'll jump through one ring, then the second ring comes, I jump through the second ring. It worked. And then that's when the Ravana comes up, the ego comes up. He says, why not add the third ring? Make it so wow that nobody from Vrindavan campus or anybody else will dare do this again. So we ace them. I was desperate to get Swami's attention. Do something so much that Swami will say, Abba, chala baga chesadu. You know? And so we added the third ring, and in the rehearsals, we practiced. Now, we realized that when you light the ring up, and please don't try this at home, when you light the ring up, if you put the diesel or kerosene just before you do, it just goes up in smoke, and a lot of smoke comes. And so you put it, wet it, and let it dry completely, so that when it later on, when it's lit, just a ring of fire comes. And so there's not too much smoke. So I could see all the three rings. These boys could hold it. It was not too hot. And they were all aligned. So I could jump three rings. One, two, three. Three jumps. One, first one with the one ring. Second jump with two rings. Third jump with three rings. The afternoon came. A Bhangra dance got over. I did the yoga on the rope. And there was a couple of other small performances. While that was going on, a young brother came to me. Another enthusiastic boy who also wanted to offer something to Swami. He comes to me and says, Brother Sundar, you must thank me later on. Okay, don't forget it. And I said, "What? Why? I can thank you right now. What did you do?" He says, you guys forgot to put diesel and kerosene on that ring. I just poured it. You are all set to go. I said, what did you do? When did you pour it? Just now, brother, it was only dry. You forgot. And then I said, oh God, now this is going to burst into flame. And there is no way now to go backtrack on anything. So I said, chalo, this josh me hosh, you know, they say. But there was so much adrenaline pumping. I said, okay, Swami will take care. Let's do it. So the boys tied big towels around their hands because now they're going to hold it and a lot of flames will come, so the rod will get hot. So the first two boys came, held the ring. I ran and jumped. So Swami is sitting on the jhula there and I am running towards Swami so he could see that. Devotees are all around in the quadrangle because that day Swami allowed everybody to come in. Chenna Reddy Garu, who was the chief minister of Andhra Pradesh, he came as a chief guest with Swami and he was watching this. So Swami is sitting opposite. He saw me jump through the first ring and he spoke to the warden something. I could see that. I said, quick guys, second ring, second ring. Second ring came, I jumped through the second ring. And I saw the warden coming towards us. And somebody said, Brother Sundar, I think Swami is asking you to stop. I said, he has not told me. I want to jump. You know, sometimes our offering overtakes what Swami wants also. He may not want it, but we have decided to offer it. Let's offer it.
Okay, dear listeners. So we listen to the final part, which is part two next week. Saram to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.